All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. It is the 11th of December, 2020. Been talking a lot about the Word of God lately, Book of John mostly. And, you know, people have a couple of approaches to the Bible. One, well, it's the Bible. It's a book that sits on their shelf, and they never read it, and they don't care about it, and maybe their grandparents gave it to them or their parents, and you know, whatever, it's the Bible. What practical meaning does that have in my life? And yet they'll consume The Economist every week, or Time Magazine, or watch TV for hours, whether it's Rachel Maddow or one of the characters on Fox News. And they'll come away with the opinion that they're greatly informed about the world. And they've spent 4 years at college, and they've read all the books that were given to them by their priests and prophets at their seminary, which was their secular university. A professor is a prophet and a priest. He's a leader of a religious order. And they are going to teach you what they believe to be true. And they're going to have you read their scriptures, their writings. And they're going to quote their writings just like a Baptist preacher quotes his writings, the Bible. And so they footnote each other. And they say, we know this. They say, well, no, this is true, because so-and-so said it, and they have a footnote note for it. Just the way a preacher would say, well, we know this is true because it says so in John 3:16. And they put themselves up, they put themselves on a pedestal, and they portray themselves as the all-knowing elite, the all-knowing people. And they are the intermediary between infinite knowledge and these poor, ignorant rubes that are coming to a university to get an education. And they put themselves in that position of being intellectual saviors and the guardians of truth. So they perform a priestly role in society. And they have you read their holy writings, even though they don't call them holy, but their scriptures. And it could be, you know, the feminist authors. It could be Freud. It could be Darwin or whoever is the latest incarnation of Darwin's evolutionary spirit. And you come out of 4 years of brainwashing, and you think you know it all. Well, you've been through seminary, and you've learned a religion, and you've learned that religion very well, and you don't question it, because to question it would be to risk being cast out of that religion. And then when you're cast out of the religion, you lose all the privileges of being in that religion. And I know you're saying to yourself, I'm not in a religion, I'm not in a cult, I'm not in a giant cult, and I don't have any priests and prophets, but you really do. And it is so overwhelming and so ingrained that you don't even recognize how true it is, because you have no context. You don't have any more context than a French peasant did in the 1100s. You don't know anything different. There is nothing to challenge your worldview. Except for somebody like me that comes along on some podcast and said, hey, wake up, get out of the cult. You can get out of the cult. And the way you're going to get out of the cult is realize you're in one. And part of the way you do that is read other scriptures. Read other scriptures. Read scriptures that come from a completely different worldview. And, of course, by that I mean the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the Hebrew scriptures. Read the Greek scriptures. And that will start to give you a completely different worldview. And you can sit back and you say, wow, I never realized somebody could come from such a completely different point of view. A lot of men died to bring you the Bible. A lot of men died to bring the Holy Scriptures to people. A lot of European men died. Over 1,500 years, the Holy Scriptures were only available in Latin. And in fact, it wasn't until 1962, I want to say, with the Vatican II conference, where the Roman Church said, you know, folks, you can go ahead and read the Bible in your own native tongue, English, for us in America. They even in England, they used to burn the scriptures that were translated into English because it posed a threat of control. If people could read the scriptures on their own, then why did they have to rely on a priest or a church leader? And this is the threat that the scriptures pose today to the university professors. And they'll mock it, and they'll say, well, you know, read it all you want. But people don't, and they know that, and that's why it's not a problem. And if people do, and when people do, and when people take it seriously, they're mocked as being, you know, fundamentalist or whatever. And I would turn that right back on their heads and say, look, y'all are the fundamentalist. You've got your narrow-minded worldview. You insist that entropy works in reverse, and you insist that life comes from non-life. And then you trot out all your scriptures to prove it so. And then you call me the fundamentalist. You're the one that's brainwashed into your old global cult. And I'm just trying to set you free. So long way of introducing the fact that, you know, everybody comes from a point of view. Everybody gathers their ideas from the bodies of scriptures that they've been reading. And the bodies of scriptures, the literature that I read, is the Greek and Hebrew scriptures. It's the Bible. And I've talked a lot in the last week or so about who killed Jesus Christ. And I gather my ideas from what the scriptures say. And this is largely in the Gospel of St. John. John was the disciple that was closest to Jesus Christ. And it is absolutely incontrovertible that John presents the fact that the Jews killed Jesus Christ. And that's supported by the words of Jesus Christ. It's not like John saying, this is my opinion. He just simply, you know, he wrote down what happened between Jesus Christ and the Jews. Jesus Christ and the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priests, the elders and the people. And when Jesus Christ stands before Pilate, even then, Jesus says, hey, man, if my disciples were here to fight in this world, they'd fight to keep me from the Jews. Not from you, but from the Jews. And Jesus Christ told Pilate, I said, look, you don't have the greater sin. Greater sin is not with you. You don't have the greater sin, Pilate. It's with them all that turn me over to you. They have the greater sin. And if you go on and you read in the book of Acts, you read what Peter had to say and Stephen had to say, the blame for the rejection of Jesus Christ, the betrayal of Jesus Christ, and ultimately the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was laid at the Jews. I didn't write this. I'm simply expressing to you what the Bible says. And for the Christian that has an issue with this, I don't know why you have an issue with it. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. It will abide forever and ever and ever. And that's not going away. Those scriptures aren't going away. So I would submit that if this is what Jesus Christ said, and if this is what the Bible said, it's got to be important and it has to last forever. And it's going to be there forever for us to learn from. And one of the big takeaways is the story about how people can take what is true and manipulate it and change it in order to control people. And the Jews had the scriptures, they had the prophets, they had the law, they had all of what Moses said, and yet they rejected that, and they created their own traditions and precepts that they elevated above the Word of God. Now, they gave lip service to the Word of God. It's not any different than these folks that give lip service to the Constitution today. They don't really believe in it. They reject it, and they do everything they can to undermine the Constitution. That's the same thing as the Pharisees of old. They gave lip service to the Ten Commandments. And Jesus Christ called them out. He called them right out. He said, you who had the scriptures, had the law of God, you reject it and you undermine it and you elevate your own traditions above the Word of God. The Bible says honor your father and mother. It says honor your father and mother. And here you are, you deny that, and you say, well, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to take all your money and give it to the church. And he says, by your very actions, you undermine that. And you see the same thing today in the United States today. You've got the Bill of Rights. It says you get the freedom of speech. You got the freedom of speech. You got the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law, et cetera, et cetera. You got the freedom to assemble. Freedom of peaceable assembly. Freedom of speech. Freedom to serve God the way you want. And the little Pharisees come along and say, yeah, but. You can say anything you want, but you can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. So beyond that, knock yourself out. So, you know, Hugh Hefner, knock yourself out. Antifa, knock yourself out. Burn the American flag, great. The guy that wants to take the cross of Jesus Christ, he puts it in a bottle of urine and gets paid with taxpayer money. Yep, protected speech. But for some people, you can't say anything that can be construed as racist, sexist, homophobic, queerphobic, transphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. Well, that's not protective speech. That's hate speech. And so there are the little Pharisees that come along. Jesus Christ warned us, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware. The Word of God lasts forever. These lessons aren't just for 2,000 years ago. Word of God lasts forever. Here these Pharisees come along and say, yeah, we understand that's what the Constitution says, but then all the buts come. All the buts. But you can't be racist, sexist, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, queerphobic, homophobic, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you can't have hate speech. You can't violate somebody's human rights. I don't care about human rights. I don't care about human rights. I care about the Bill of Rights. And if you're an American, hey, you know, let's start with there. Forget human rights. How about the Bill of Rights? Second Amendment, same thing. I go on down the list and do all the amendments. Second Amendment, yeah, you've got the right to keep and bear arms. That means as far as some people are concerned, that could mean a single-shot shotgun. That's it. There's your arm. Could mean just a slingshot. That's it. Could mean just a musket, just an old black powder rifle. That's it. That's where your the right to keep and bear arms starts and stops. And so they'll do everything to undermine the very thing that they're supposed to protect. That's what the Pharisee does. That's what the scribe does. That's what the lawyer does. And it's that doctrine that we have to be careful of. It's in the church. It's certainly in society. And that's how they control people. That's how people are controlled. That's how people are controlled in the United States. We're so deep into this global cult that people don't even recognize that they're in a cult. And the only way you're going to recognize it is if you get a perspective from outside the cult, which is hopefully what I'm bringing. And one of the ways, you know, the primary way you can do that for yourself is read the Bible. Go read Genesis. Go read the Psalms. Go read the Gospel of John. And you can do that for yourself. But people are afraid. People are afraid. They don't want to do it. They were afraid in Jesus' time too. There was a lot of people that saw Jesus and knew he was right. They knew he was right. They knew Jesus Christ was right, but they were afraid of the Jews. The Bible says they were afraid of the Jews. They didn't say anything because they were afraid of the Jews. So many Americans, most Americans, most Christians, certainly most Christians, they're terrified of opening up their mouth and speaking. And it's the same thing. It's the same principle. They're afraid of the Jews. They're afraid they're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. Back in the time of Jesus Christ, when you got kicked out of the synagogue, you're basically excommunicated from society. Today, if you get kicked out of a church, nobody cares. You would probably laugh. You would laugh. And in fact, nobody would even kick you out of the church because it would make the church look more stupid than the person kicked out of the church. But that's not the church of today in 2020. The church that you and I are in is this global cult that will excommunicate you and condemn you as a heretic if you dare contradict their false moralities. If you dare speak things that they consider to be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic, then they'll cast you out of their synagogue. They're going to say you're persona non grata. We don't want anything to do with you. And you get kicked out of universities. University professors get fired. Speakers get disinvited to speak at a university. You've got the little self-righteous, morally superior Antifa BLM types who will go have a riot on a campus and burn the building down because there's somebody who's going to come along that has words that they don't agree with. So they'll meet their words with violence. Guess who that happened to? Jesus Christ. The Jews didn't like the words of Jesus Christ, so they killed him. But, you know, y'all know he rose from the dead, right? So that's my king. My king rose from the dead. I don't know about your king, but my king rose from the dead. And that's the king I follow. And his word is eternal. His word lasts forever. One of the names of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And that's those. That's the Hebrew and Greek scriptures. Read them. It's on your shelf. Go read it. Christian, non-Christian, atheist, go read it. Not going to bite you. Most dangerous thing that can happen is if you read the Bible is that you set yourself free from the global cult you're in. Even the Christians. They're so bound up in the idea that they can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. And they're bound up. And so all they can talk about is their pet cats and their pet dogs and their knitting contest and the pretty trees outside. And they can't talk about anything serious because they're afraid to be kicked out of the cult that they're in. They're afraid of being destroyed and named. And this is how they control you. This is how they control you in the cult. This is how they control you in totalitarian societies. This is how they controlled you in the Soviet Union in the 50s and 60s and 70s. You work so hard to become a member of the Communist Party. And then one day you wake up and you're going, oh my God, I'm in a giant cult. I'm in a totalitarian society. And it slips out and you say something that contradicts whatever they believe in. And boom, you lose your membership in the party. Well, once you lose your membership in the party, you can't be a university professor anymore. You can't be a government bureaucrat. You can't be a manager in a factory. China's the same way. Soviet Union's the same way. United States is the same way. Go try to be one of the priests or prophets at the seminaries. What I'm saying is go try to be a university professor at the University of Washington or Harvard or anywhere else. And go teach or say something that's outside of the accepted norms of their worldview and morality. You'll lose. You're going to lose. You're going to get cast out of the academy. You'll lose your job. That's how they control you. If you're a student, they'll do the same thing. Well, you're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And you're going to get booted from the university if you're not physically assaulted. And this cult is going crazy. This cult's going crazy in the United States. Now they're tearing down statues. They're tearing down statues of people that never even owned slaves. And yet they've nominated a woman who's the descendant of slave owners to be the vice president of the United States on the Democratic ticket. So the cult's gone crazy. Cult's gone crazy. And you're either going to get run over by this cult or you're going to stand up and you're going to fight against it. And the way you fight against it is the same way Jesus Christ fought against it. He opened up his mouth and he spoke. He spoke the truth. And the word of God is powerful. It's living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's able to set minds free. So for the great sin of the Christian is they don't open up their mouth and speak because they're afraid. They're afraid of the Jews. Same thing in the time of Jesus. This is why Jesus Christ said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. They're going to come in there and they're going to manipulate you and they're going to control you. And it's guilt manipulation. This is all guilt manipulation. They're going to accuse you and accuse you and accuse you and accuse you. And why? Why? That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel set you free. He said, I set you free. Set us free from our sins and not burden us with things that aren't sins in the first place. They didn't like Jesus Christ because he wouldn't bend the knee to their narrow-minded morality. And he told them, he says, look, he says, I can't agree with you. To agree with you would be a liar like you. Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. He said, I am the Son of God. Over and over and over. And when they asked him, he said, I've told you, I've told you, I've told you. And if you don't believe what I said, how come you can't believe the works that I do? Jesus Christ cannot deny that he's the Son of God. He cannot deny that he's God because he is God and he is the Son of God. He's the creator of the universe. Through him, all things have come into being. And to water that down and pretend that it's not true is a betrayal of the truth. And the number one recipient of this message, I'm hoping, is Christians. Please don't water down the identity of Jesus Christ to make Antichrist happy. Please don't do that. That's too great of a treasure to betray. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. He is the Creator. When the disciples says, Jesus, just show us the Father, and that's enough. Jesus says, man, yeah, I've been with you so long. I've been with you so long and you don't recognize me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So this is, you know, this is a great opportunity. You wake up, man. Realize who your King is. Realize who Jesus Christ is. He's the Lord God, the Almighty. He's the Son of God. He's the creator of the universe. By him and through whom, through him, all things were created, and they were all created for him. When we die, we stand before the judgment day. It's not God the Father that's going to judge you. Not even the Father judges anyone. Not even the Father judges anyone. All judgment has been given to the Son. Jesus Christ will be the judge of everybody on the planet, whether you're a Jewish or Hindu or atheist or agnostic or Christian. So these are good things. This is a good time. Know the words. We have been so browbeaten down into submitting and into cowering before the people that reject Jesus Christ and reject his words that we don't even realize it. And as the current world falls apart under its own weight, under its own lies, we're going to have an opportunity to rebuild. And my heart is that people rebuild societies based on the Word of God, based on the truth, just based on the truth. And the truth is in the Hebrew and Greek scriptures. Just based on the truth, to have people live free and wholesome lives, whether it's in North America or South Africa or East Asia or Central Europe. But you're not going to do this by trying to please the Antichrist and the atheists and the people that reject the Word of God or the the Antichrist atheistic Christians. Which are, I mentioned last time that we were here, I talked about the middle church. Yeah, I don't know what they're in the middle of, but man, what a legacy. What a legacy that they've squandered and wasted. It's so sad when you have the truth and you reject it and you turn away from it. That's what the Jews did. They had the truth and they rejected it and they turned away from it for their own traditions. That's what much of the church is doing today in the Western world. They had the truth. They knew the truth. The Word of God is really their inheritance, and they turned away from it. They turned away from it, walked away from it. They've elevated their own traditions and their own precepts and their own narrow-minded moralities, and they will condemn anybody that speaks the truth. That's exactly what happened with Jesus Christ. The Jews had the Word of God. They had the law of Moses. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had all these things, and they rejected it, and they came up with their own traditions. So when Jesus Christ shows up, they murdered him. And the church is in the same position today, the Christian church. They have imbibed of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they've rejected the law and the prophets. They've rejected the Word of God. They elevate their own precepts, and they sit up there like a bunch of dang Pharisees and say you can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic, or we're going to cast you out of the church and condemn you as a Nazi, as a Satan, as a Hitler. And they said the same thing to Jesus Christ, the same thing. They said, Jesus Christ, you do your works by Beelzebub. You're born of fornication. You have a devil in you. Jesus Christ turned around and looked at him. He said, y'all are liars. You have your father, the devil. Jesus Christ told the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Doesn't leave a lot of room for compromise, does it, folks? And guess what? That squishy middle is being squished. It's like you take a balloon and put your hand in the middle of the balloon and you squeeze it and the middle's gone. You're going to go to one side or the other. Everything else is gone. And this is what's going on today in the world. The middle is going away on purpose. And you're going to go to one side or you're going to go to the other. Very simple. If you love the world, you can't love God. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, what do you expect? What do you expect? If they called me Beelzebul, what do you think they're going to call my disciples? If they treated me this way, how do you think they're going to treat you? Are the disciples treated any better than the master? You know, part of the Christian cult out there that's abandoned the scriptures is that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you just, you know, he wants you to be rich and have all these wonderful things and be happy and healthy and successful and all that stuff. Look, I can't speak to what God wants in your life, but all I can say is when I look at the Holy Scriptures, you got to wonder where they're coming up with their inspiration. You look at all the prophets, how many of them just died? How many of them died? You look at Jesus Christ, see how he died. You look at the other apostles, see how they died. Read the book of Hebrews. Know anybody that's been sawn in two lately? Hebrews chapter 11. If they said Jesus is full of devils, why are you surprised if somebody says you're a bad person? And if they're not, well, what does that mean? What does that mean for you, Christian? What does that mean for you? Whose side are you on? When the bling gets squished, what side are you going to go to? You going to go be friends with the world? Make sure they're happy with you? Make sure the little antichrists pat you on the head and say, oh, you're a good little Christian. You're just like that naked little man on the cross. He was just harmless. He just loved everybody. Or are you going to go back and read the book of John? Go read the book of John and find out where Jesus Christ stood with the Jews, and where he stood with the Pharisees, and where he stood with the people that elevated the traditions of man above the Word of God. Jesus Christ came to set you free, and the world lives under eternal guilt, especially white Europeans, heritage Christians. And they've got the perfect manipulation. Shut up, sit down, and obey, because you're guilty forever for being white. You're a racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And so forever, they will have you under their control. Jesus Christ comes to set you free. The just shall live by faith. Cast that off, man. Cast that off like a wet blanket. Cast it beside you. Walk in the freedom. Walk, therefore, in the freedom and the liberty that Christ has set you free with. There's a better way. There's a better way to form societies. There's a better way to live your life. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Stop listening to these traditions that people elevate above the Word of God. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, 11 December 2020.